This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
All right, we talked earlier this week about the state of California hitting a local guy in our area with a bill, an amazing bill. The Inquirer reporting that hitting this Philly area Amazon seller with a $1.6 million sales tax bill. Well, I'm very grateful that he's taken time to come on the show today. Brian Freifelder from Ben Salem is with me, and his attorney, Paul Raffleson. Thanks for making the time, gentlemen, to join me here on the show.
Thank you for having us on today.
So give us the background. You've been selling stuff on Amazon. You sell all kinds of different stuff, and then Amazon acts as the third party, basically. So if somebody in California orders something, Amazon facilitates it, you ship it. Is that kind of how that works?
So I'm a third-party Amazon seller. There's two ways you can buy off of Amazon. There are merchant-fulfilled sellers, and there are FBA, or fulfilled by Amazon sellers. With fulfillment by Amazon, the way it works is I send my stuff to an Amazon warehouse, and when you have a Prime membership and you're getting that free two-day shipping, you're basically buying either from Amazon or from a third-party Amazon seller, and it's coming from one of their warehouses. So when I send my stuff to Amazon, it goes through their network. Typically, I'm sending my stuff to a Pennsylvania warehouse. And then from there, they're actually potentially taking the stuff and moving it throughout their network to different warehouses throughout the country.
And so I guess my question is, first of all, is this profitable for you? Have you been making some money doing this?
Sure.
Yeah, good. I mean, what kind of stuff do you sell?
Primarily clothing, shoes, a bit of grocery, but a bit of everything.
All right. And is this like a full-time job for you, being able to do this?
Yeah, it's my business.
I mean, it's great. It's really amazing in this kind of a day and age where you can make that your full-time job, selling stuff on Amazon. That's huge. Really great. And so then all of a sudden you open up, I guess, what, the mailbox, and you got this $1.6 million tax bill?
Pretty much. Amazon sent out letters to all the third-party sellers that had inventory. California sent out letters. Pretty much saying, hey, you have inventory in our warehouses, so you owe us money for it. Being a Pennsylvania, business, I've known I have Nexus in Pennsylvania for a pretty long time. And that's the way pretty much every accountant sees it. They pretty much say, okay, your home state is where you have Nexus. California is pretty much alleging, hey, you have Nexus in our state as well, because your inventory has actually been stored in a warehouse here in California.
Okay, so if they're arguing that there's a physical presence there of your stuff, and that's why they can justify getting the sales tax from you?
Exactly.
Okay, and why doesn't Amazon collect the sales tax from a buyer itself? I mean, why does that not happen that way?
They do at this point, starting in October. So states have implemented marketplace facilitator laws, which makes it so that the marketplace, such as Amazon or eBay or whatever marketplace, pretty much whoever is the one, taking the sale is the one that actually, collects the sales tax. But being that I was in Pennsylvania, I didn't see myself as, being a California business. And, there was no reason to collect that sales tax, all this time.
And Amazon, go ahead. The attorney wants to
chime in. Just to give you a little background on that. The Amazon, game, and this is, going way back to the start of Amazon. There's a whole chapter on Amazon sort of sales tax game in the book Everything Store by Bloomberg editor Brad Stone has been tax avoidance. It's been, we don't want to collect sales tax on sales because that gives us an edge over the brick and mortars. And so first it was about the stuff that Amazon sells in all the states. There was a landmark case in New York, and all the states started piling on and saying, Amazon, we're going to come after you for back taxes. Amazon then makes deals with a number of states, including California, saying, okay, we'll agree to collect sales tax on the sales that we will claim to be our own. But we're going to call ourselves a marketplace on these other sales, which, from the customer's perspective, makes no difference, right? It's Prime. It's in the same shopping cart. It's Amazon's customer. All of the retail operation really does happen through Amazon. Brian and other sellers like Brian, the thousands of other people who are having similar experiences as Brian, they're really just supplying Amazon, but Amazon has sort of pushed on this fiction that we're just this, sort of nebulous marketplace. We're like the mall, and you don't tax the mall, you tax the individual retailers. And we're going to say that Brian is the retailer, but that doesn't actually work that way. I mean, Amazon isn't the mall. Amazon is the seller to the customer. You know, to the customer is Amazon's customer. Brian, for example, can't mail a coupon or send catalogs to the customer, right, which may be a good thing for other reasons. But, you know, it's just it's not, you know, analogous to a traditional brick and mortar mall. So it's sort of like if Wawa were to say, we're just a physical marketplace. People come to our stores and they're really buying the tasty cakes from Tasty Cake, and our store is just facilitating the sale of the Tasty Cake to the consumer. We know that that's ridiculous, but Amazon, through its influence, has done a really great job of convincing state governments to sort of look the other way. And it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt when you're adding jobs and warehouses and things like that. And, you know, while we consider tax incentives to be normal, and I used to be a lawyer at GE, and I'm very familiar with tax incentives, this one's a little bit different because this one was about not taxing Amazon itself, but allowing Amazon to sort of pass on its responsibility to collect tax as a retailer, just as any other retailer in the state would. And as a result of this, the states are saying, well, we're not going to go after Amazon, who has 30,000 jobs in the state of California. Let's go after these small out-of-state businesses that cannot afford to defend themselves in tax litigation and just, you know, try to collect from them. They don't vote in California. There's no impact. So
right.
We can make Amazon happy. We can continue to dominate. And you know, all the while, nobody says anything about the fact that the small brick-and-mortar retailers were screaming, you know, bloody murder because they can't compete against Amazon and their 10% price advantage in some states. And, you know, everyone's blaming these little people like Brian, but it's really the fact that Amazon wasn't fucking the tax.
Right. This is Paul Raffleson, the attorney, Brian's attorney, who's speaking right now. Paul, I guess the question that would become, if Brian sells in all 50 states, could all 50 states then say, we want the sales tax, we want you to then give us a sales tax?
Yeah, and that's kind of what's been happening. I mean, thankfully, 33 states have passed these marketplace facilitator laws. And those laws are helpful because, you know, not every marketplace is the same. It's very different when you sell on eBay versus Amazon, right? When Amazon transfers physical title and custody of your goods, right, that's the legal definition of a sale in about all 50 states. So they shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, for states like, you know, for eBay, where it's a little bit different and there's more autonomy, you could maybe make an argument that they are more of a marketplace than Amazon. And so, these laws are working in 33 states. We now have laws where it's clear going forward that, you know, all the marketplace sites have to collect the tax on behalf of the consumers. But yes, there are a number of states going after people like Brian for back taxes. Massachusetts is awful. They send people, you know, small businesses tax bills, $250,000, $400,000. Washington State, we have 6 live cases in litigation right now in Washington State. Same thing. And all these people were blindsided. You know, they didn't even know that their inventory was in these states. It actually doesn't constitute nexus. They're kind of missing a key point of under our due process clause. You kind of have to do it on purpose. And, you know, if you don't even know your stuff is there, how can you be, you know, accountable for the tax laws, right? Amazon didn't tell Brian. And in fact, Amazon blocked efforts by California to even send a message to sellers years ago to say you might have to collect tax on these sales. So I mean,
really? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. I mean, Amazon, and, you know, it sort of led to the treasurer, you know, the state treasurer of California, Fiona Ma, who used to be the head of sales tax. I mean, she was on the Board of Equalization for California, which is their, you know, was their sales tax division. You know, she sent a 6-page letter to Governor Newsom in California saying this is unconstitutional, this is against state law, and this is bad policy because of all the small businesses you're hurting, especially women-owned businesses. The statistics on women-owned businesses who have succeeded on Amazon, it's astounding. One of my colleagues, Cynthia Stein, is somebody who I work with who does a lot of advocacy for Amazon businesses, is called Amazon the Great Equalizer. So you've got all this great stuff happening with entrepreneurs, people being able to pull themselves out of poverty, you know, through Amazon. And then you've got states like California, Washington, Massachusetts who are coming after these people and treating them like they're Google, you know, like they should know all these state laws or that they should comply, which is unconstitutional for another reason, because it's really expensive. It's really impossible for a small business owner to comply with 50 states. And so every state where Amazon has a warehouse has basically said one way or the other, we may come after you. Now, not all of them have, but thousands of people have been impacted by California. We have clients who have been sent letters threatening felony incarceration, saying you're committing a felony and you may go to jail for not collecting tax, you know, and these are going to immigrant business owners who don't really you don't really speak English, and then they're just like, what is going on here? And it's just, it's gotten out of control.
Well, there's a lot, look, there's a lot of people that sell online now, and I mean, thinking that they have to know the tax laws in all the states and that they've got to find a way to collect and submit and file paperwork and everything else, it would become nobody would want to do it. I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, nobody would ever want to do it.
Right, it's called an undue burden on interstate commerce. We have the Commerce Clause, and we have case law that say, well, obviously, if there's this company like Amazon that's really kind of being the seller anyway, and they're in the best position to collect the tax, you know, constitutional law principles would kick in and say, well, the states really should be focused on putting that burden on the big multi-billion dollar company, Amazon, who makes a lot of money in this marketplace. I mean, a lot of the profit that Brian drives a lot of profit for Amazon, Brian and the sellers, right? I mean, Amazon takes 30% of the sale when it's all said and done, if not more. So, I mean, it's not like they're doing this out of the kindness of their heart. They're fully capable and in the best position to be collecting these taxes. But, you know, for the last few years, these states have really just, I don't know, they're out of their minds. They're just going after these small business owners. And it's really sad because the stories that we see and hear, people who have lost their businesses, people who, you know, I get asked almost every day, am I going to lose my house? Am I going to lose, you know, just people don't know what to do. It's crazy.
Well, what do you do? I mean, that's the question, right, Paul Raffleson? What do you do? What is Brian going to do now with this $1.6 million tax bill from California?
Well, I mean, it's challenging. I mean, we have, you know, a whole group of sellers who are in the same boat. We're trying to basically put something together to take action. But you know what? We're blocked from federal court. Or there's a very hard path to get in the federal court to get a meaningful ruling to kind of put a stop to this. So, you know, we have to look at other options. And, you know, because tax matters are blocked from federal court generally. So, you know, we have to look at what options. California doesn't let you bring injunctions, which is basically like getting a court to tell the government to stop. So, you know, we're looking at all options out there and trying to see what to do. I mean, initially what Brian would have to do is challenge the bill. And, you know, what I tell people and where people really get stuck is that tax litigation in general is very expensive, right? The type of tax litigation these states are putting these small businesses in is typically the type of tax litigation that's reserved for the biggest companies in the world. So obviously Brian can't afford to do that.
Right.
So, you know, he may be able to file certain things that could, you know, drag this out for years just because of how slow the government is. But, you know, in reality, that's the problem. It's like the cost to fight it is almost as much as the tax bills, right? But these tax bills are crushing. Even if it ends up not being $1.6 million, it's still, you know, enough to drain the life savings of most sellers.
Sure. Yeah, without question. Let me ask you, Paul, where can people find you? If somebody's listening to this and has a similar problem, how can they connect you?
So the easiest way to find our law firm website is ecomattorneys, like ecomattorneys.com. And then we also have a trade association that I volunteer and try to basically get sellers to advocate and lobby. Because one of the things we've learned over the years is that not having a advocacy group for the small online businesses is probably what's causing a lot of this, right? Nobody's hearing their voice. So we've been pushing for that. So it's called the Online Merchants Guild, onlinemerchantsguild.org, onlinemerchantsguild.org. So if people want to find us there, they can. And you know, we certainly welcome. We love hearing from sellers throughout the community. You know, these data points are important. We're constantly talking to politicians at the state and at the Congress and at federal level, and they need to hear from people. So yeah.
Well, listen. The goal should always be to empower. The goal should always be to empower more commerce and the ability for people to make a living, and that helps everybody. That helps the entire economy. So that's what needs to happen here. I wish you both the best of luck, and thanks for coming on the show. Keep us posted, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having us on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.